Well, let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we greet you. The cross has not defeated you. The grave has not kept you silent. At the first dew of the morning, you met our sister Mary and called her by name. Meet us as you met Mary, with gentleness and resolution. Speak our names quietly in our hearts that we may proclaim your name boldly with our lips and our lives. Amen. Well, there's a body on the loose. What a wild, wonderful, weird, and wacky thing that is. And how this has come to be overshadowed by bunnies and eggs is a little puzzling until you acknowledge that, of course, it's ridiculously impossible apart from God, for whom all good things are possible. Somehow the rebirth of spring is just easier to believe in. What a wild, wonderful, weird, and wacky thing. And how like our God, who loves to make all things new, Jesus dead on Friday, surprising his friends on Sunday, not as a disembodied spirit, not as a resuscitated mortal body, not as a ghost, not as a warm religious feeling, but with a resurrected body, as a resurrected person. The body different from the ones we currently inhabit. On one hand, he still bears some of the scars of crucifixion, but later he enters a locked room without opening the door. He's initially unrecognizable to Mary, who thinks he's a gardener. But as soon as he speaks her name, she realizes who he is. Jesus in a resurrected body. Now, Jesus' friends believed in resurrection, as did many, although not all, in their community. They understood that God would look after the souls of the righteous. And on the last day, the day when God broke into human history and judged and remade the world, the righteous, both dead and alive, would get new bodies, new resurrected bodies. And then the glorious life of the age to come, the time when the lion would lay down with the lamb, that would begin. And many expected this to happen when the Messiah came. But again and again throughout his ministry, Jesus talked about being put to death and raised again. And his friends, they are dismayed. They have pinned their hopes on him. They love him. Why are you talking this way? You are here to establish God's rule, not to die. And sure, he'll be raised when we all are. But what good does that do us now? What good indeed, this body on the loose, this wild, weird, wacky, and wonderful thing? What does it tell us? Well, it tells us that resurrection is not just a possibility, but a certainty. This resurrected body gives us hope for ourselves and hope for our world. Christ, Paul tells us, is the first fruits, the first one, the guarantor of our eventual resurrection. And the New Testament gives us considerably less information about the details of this than we might like, but it does leave us with hope. Hope in the face of our mortality. Something we all have, but we don't all acknowledge. I was reading about Margaret, who had throat cancer, and had gotten to a place where it was hard to speak and hard to swallow, and she was in constant pain. And she got tired of hearing her visitors talk as though this were the worst possible thing which could have happened. And so she had a response printed out to give to her visitors. And it read, "This is not the worst thing to ever happen. Cancer is so limited. It cannot cripple love, shatter hope, corrode faith, eat away peace, destroy confidence, kill friendship, shut out memories, silence courage, quench the spirit, or lessen the power of Jesus." Jesus' resurrection gives us hope for ourselves individually. But that's not all. This resurrection points us to all that God will yet do for this troubled world of ours. God is going to do for the whole cosmos what he did for Jesus at Easter. And so in Romans 8, Paul writes, "The creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. Creation itself will be set free from bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That which is physical and perishable will be recreated to be physical and imperishable. New heavens and new earth." In 1 Corinthians 15, towards the end of it, after having talked at a lot of length about Jesus' resurrection and our eventual resurrection, Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved, because of this resurrection reality, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain." Your labor is not in vain. "And anything you do now, which you do in obedience to the gospel, energized by the Spirit, for the glory of Christ, is not in vain. It's not just for now. It's for eternity." Now, I don't know how this is true, but I know that it is. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That which you do will be in some sense resurrected. But let's face it, a lot of our labor feels like it is vain. Our efforts often seem not only temporary, but futile. You know, that book you wrote, which never got published. Even those tomato plants you tended, which all develop, blossom, and rot. The patient who dies young. The prayers which feel like they were never answered. Your many calls to your senators and representatives, which haven't yet produced the desired outcome. The forgiveness you poured into that relationship, which never healed. The time spent with a student who didn't learn. The kind words which were rebuffed. And the plans for justice, sin, peace, and universal well-being, which got thwarted at every turn. Even somehow, those things are not in vain. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It is resurrected, or it will be resurrected. And that distinction, which sometimes people make between sacred and secular, it's not a distinction in the New Testament. All the work of God's people, when inspired by the gospel and directed by the Spirit, is labor in the Lord, whether that's designing energy-efficient heating systems or praying for the sick. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It will be completed. It will have its fulfillment in God's future. And that's good news. This wacky, wonderful, weird, and wild business of a resurrected person appearing to his friends shouts out good news. Death is defeated by the power of God. And we in Christ not only look forward to getting our own incorruptible resurrection bodies, ones with parts which don't hurt and wear out, but we can know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain, that this world is worth agonizing over, because it too will be resurrected.